الإذاعة الإلكترونية لجامعة العلوم والتكنولوجيا تقدم دراسات إدارية باللغة الإنجليزية. الإعداد والتقديم الأستاذ محمد شجاع الدين. الهندسة الصوتية محمد العلي. الإشراف الدكتور سميرة الشميري. الإخراج رياض المحيى.
Dear students, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our audio programs. This is going to be the first session on air in which you will be exposed to several business terms and definitions. Throughout this session, we need to answer the following question. What are the different forms of businesses and why are strategies and objectives of these businesses different? Yet, in order to answer this question clearly, we need to discuss the following. First, what is the transformation process? Second, how and why do people set up in business? Third, types of businesses. Fourth, business objectives and the SMART objectives. The first point in this session is about the transformation process. What is the transformation process? Simply, what people have to do when they run their businesses is actually to organize workers, money, materials, and machines in order to produce goods or services. This is what we, in business, refer to the transformation process. This way, a company takes resources and then transforms these to produce products or to offer services. For example, a university that offers services uses books, e-books, labs, computers, classrooms, teachers, and other admin workers to offer education. This is also true when talking about other types of businesses, either producing goods or offering services. We can classify these types of businesses into three categories. Number one, primary sector, which includes companies that work in extractive industries such as mining, fishing, and forestry. An example of this kind of business in the petroleum companies in Yemen, which extract out petrol and gas as their main products. Number two, secondary sector includes companies that are involved in manufacturing such as cars industries and other companies that manufacture computers, phones, machines, etc. Number three, tertiary sector that consists of organizations in the service sector such as hotels, universities, banks, insurance companies, etc. We can also classify firms according to their size using the following dimensions. A. The value of the sales revenues. For example, we understand that Sony Corporation is bigger than Dyer Corporation as Sony products generates high rates of sales revenues more than Dyer products, which generate less sales revenues. B. The share of the market that the company has. For example, we can also understand and estimate the size of Toyota company in Yemeni market as we find that Toyota cars has approximately over than 50% of the market share in Yemen. C. The number of employees that company has. D. The value of company's assets. However, it is still important to know that the best way to classify the company by its size depends on the type of business. For example, The university might have around 500 workers with annual revenue reaching $3 million is still smaller than a telecommunication company with only 100 workers but more than $10 million annual revenue. Thus, one dimension may not be enough to measure a company's size, and that we can use more than one dimension to better classify companies regarding their size. Now we move to the second main point, in which we will know how and why do people set up in business. What usually business people do when they think of a new business is to identify a chance or an opportunity and decide what product or service to offer. This also requires thinking about different important factors such as, number one, the market and the demand. Will there be a demand for your product? And would it be better, equal, or worse than other offers in the market? Can you offer a better price or better service than your competitors in the market? Number two, your potential customers and their needs and wants. Are your customers in need to such products, or do they just consider them non-essential ones? Number three, cost and the overall transformation process. Finally, you need to think about the cost of running your business and whether it is difficult to produce and sell your product or not. To answer these questions, you will need to know more about the market and about your customers' needs and wants. This can be achieved by doing a market research. What is the market research then? Market research is the process of gathering, sorting, and analyzing information about the customer's needs and wants, and about the nature of the market of your product or service. Thus, findings of the market research should then make it clear to decide what product to offer, when, where exactly, to whom you may offer your product or services. Furthermore, you can also set your price according to your cost and according to price in the market. If your idea is so successful, it will be likely that other people might like to copy it. In this case, you can possibly protect your idea using either a patent, if it's a product, which gives you the right to an invention under the Copyright Designs and Patent Act 1988, which lasts to 20 years, or a copyright as a legal protection for authors, artists, musical composers under the Copyright Design and Patent Act 1988. Once you are sure that your idea is profitable and that you can protect it from others, you can then launch your business. Besides your own savings and money, you can look for the financial side as you need the money to start your business. To gain the needed finance, there are usually several ways to get the money. You can, for instance, borrow money from your family members or your friends. Another way that is more formal is to borrow money from a bank, but you will need to pay it back to debt as banks charge people interest, extra money to the original amount. Another way to get money for your startup is through the investment. This means you invite others as partners or investors to provide you with the money you need. But this will be in return for granting them some control over your business. The reason why some business people do not like to bring in outside investors to their business. Once you manage your startup, you will then have to draw a clear road which clarifies what you really want to achieve and the way you achieve it. You will need to produce a clear business plan. The business plan is a report that sets out the objectives of the business, financial projections, and the market analysis of the organization. The business plan also includes your objectives, information on the market and your potential competitors, sales estimate on cost, revenues and profits, as well as information about your customers' needs and wants. For this, the business plan is very useful as it helps you to think carefully about what you're doing. It is also important when you want to get a bank loan because banks usually inquire about your business plan before giving you any loans to make sure that your business would make a success in order to pay them back. Now we move to the third point in the session in which we will discuss the various types of businesses. Forms of businesses are many, but you will discuss three of the most common forms of organization in today's business: sole traders, private limited companies, and public limited companies. First, sole traders. A sole trader is an individual who sets up his or her own business and works for his or herself. Examples of sole traders are hairdressers, a shop owner, plumbers, etc. Although people can easily succeed as sole traders, yet they need to acquire certain skills and qualities. A sole trader who works for his or her own business should always be ready to work long hours, have solid confidence in his decisions, and also be ready to work many tasks and few holidays. On the other hand, a sole trader can make decisions faster than if working in a company. He or she will have profits. It is also easier to start a business as a sole trader and will have a direct contact with your customers and in the market. However, there are also some disadvantages of being a sole trader, as he might have limited resources and will bear on his shoulder all decisions and their consequences. Another disadvantage is that a sole trader has unlimited liability. Unlimited liability means that the sole trader is responsible for the debt of his business, and there is no limit to this responsibility, even if he or she has to sell his or her own properties such as cars or gold to pay back and clear any loans or debts. Second types of business, companies. A company is a type of business owned by shareholders. This means that each share owned by someone represents a part of the company. Thus, the more share you have, the more of the company belongs to you, and the more control you have. The company is different from sole traders, as the company is a legal entity which can own assets and is liable for its own debts. So, owners of the company, shareholders, have limited liabilities. Having limited liability is one of the advantages of setting up business as a company. It means that shareholders are only responsible and liable for the money they only have in that company, and that they do not have to sell their own properties to pay off their debts or to clear their loans to banks. Here are some advantages of running a business as a company. A company has limited liability. It can easily raise finance by selling some of its shares. It is more established than sole traders. However, there are also some disadvantages as follow. The company has to pay the cost of registering. It has to make its account public. It is subject to company law, which means more regulations and policies than sole traders. Finally, the company has to disclose information about it, such as its annual profit and what it owns or operates. What is the difference between the private limited company and the public limited company? In order to answer this question, we should understand that both private and public companies are in the private sector. The only difference here is that private limited companies cannot sell their shares or announce that they want to sell shares in media or in newspaper, just as public companies. They can only sell their shares if the shareholders agree to sell, and that if only one shareholder disagrees of either selling or accepting new shareholders, then that company cannot sell or accept new shares. Thus, private limited companies are said to be family business. On the other hand, public limited companies can easily sell out their shares to anyone, and that is why it is called public. So, if one person buys the majority of the shares in a certain company, he or she will have the lion's shares and will enjoy more control over the company. If another company buys up the majority of the shares in another company, it will then control the company, and that is what we call a takeover. Finally, a company should be managed and run by someone. However, it would be very difficult if all owners, shareholders, manage one company. Thus, most of companies hire a board of directors who would then manage the company by directing and controlling other sub-managers. Our last point in the session is about business objective and the SMART objectives. For every organization, there must be aims and goals. Corporate aim is the overall purpose of the business. Here are some typical goals that companies usually strive to achieve. First, expanding market share. Second, increasing sales and profits. Third, serving the society. Fourth, looking for adventure and fun, and finally, increasing staff welfare. In fact, a company may consider some, if not all of these aims together with achieving financial goals called profits. What is a profit? The profit is the amount of money that a company can have when the value of its sales in money is greater than its costs. This aim together with other aims are all stated in a statement called the mission statement. Companies that have aims must set specific objectives in order to reach its final aims. Thus, the objectives are targets that need to be achieved to reach final aims. It means that if a company can achieve these objectives, it will then achieve its aims. SMART objectives. What does SMART objectives stand for? The objectives that a company may set should have certain features, and this is what we mean by SMART. SMART stands for the following. S, specific, means that a company must set out exactly what it wants to do. Example, increasing its sales or profit with certain percentage. 2, M, measurable. The company must be able to measure its progress in achieving its objectives. 3, A, agreed. Respective members and business should all agree on these objectives in order to be involved and accordingly work harder in achieving them. 4. R. Realistic. Objectives set should be achievable and rational. Because if these objectives are not possibly achievable, people will be less likely to work hard as they think it is impossible to achieve these objectives. 5. T. Time specific. It is important to set time limit to achieve objectives than to leave it up and end it. By this, dear students, we come to the end of the session. We discuss the different form of business, including sole traders, as an incorporated kind of business, and private limited companies, as well as public limited companies, as incorporated business. All work and transformation inputs, such as materials, machines, workers, and finance, to final outputs including goods or services. We also found that business objectives can also be different, ranging from gaining profit, expanding market share, providing community service and adventure. Yet, whatsoever these objectives are, business owners have to strategically achieve them in reality, and that will only happen if these objectives are SMART, meaning that these objectives are specific, measurable, agreed, realistic, and time-specific. In our next lesson, you will learn how to plan for your business regarding internal and external factors to your organization and or firm, and how firms figure out about their customers' needs and wants. Until then, I wish you all the best and thank you for listening to our audio programs.
دراسات إدارية باللغة الإنجليزية. الإعداد والتقديم الأستاذ محمد شجاع الدين. الهندسة الصوتية محمد العلي. الإشراف الدكتور سمير الشميري. الإخراج رياض المحيي.